You want to open up to Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one under the table back there. We have a long ways to go in a short period of time, so I'll see how good we can do. and to repeat myself and to remind myself and you that that we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And last week we talked about hearing, but also heeding. The week before that we talked about power and passion and practice. And again, it's, you know, God in a sense meets us as we meet Him. And as we obey Him and take that step of faith that He convicts us to take, that He leads us to take in obedience, He gives us more of Himself. And so we need to be obedient, because if I'm not in obedience and walking in what I know, then God isn't going to give me any more. I might have more head knowledge. I might gain more head knowledge. But in the end, head knowledge will condemn me if it isn't life knowledge. So again, I just want to challenge myself and us to remember to be hearers, doers of the word and not hearers only. And everything can be summed up in one word, love. You know, that's the measurement of what we know of Christ, is our love. Our love first to Him. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's the outworking of whether we love Him, is that we walk in obedience. We aren't hearers only, we are doers. And then love to one another. You know, Paul said, though I have the faith to move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. You know, and this is the measurement of all things, not how much I know or how much we know. It's what we live out with one another in holiness and practical living. And so the first three chapters of Ephesians, you know, that there's not any higher exposition of theology, of biblical truth, of the things of God that are found in those first three chapters. And they are salvation to us inwardly. Okay? They're what's given to us inwardly. And then the next three chapters, 4 through 6, is Christianity outward. And so that's what we're talking about, is Christianity outward. Because if we've received at least some of what the first three chapters talk about, there must be an outworking, which is what he's talked about in these chapters that we're in now. And so last week, just to try to summarize it a little bit, verse 17, which again, as I spoke about last week, is just a continuation of verses 1 through 4 of the same chapter. And then we can jump right to here. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk, not as other unsaved people or other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. And again, vanity was, remember, it's futility, that which is never achieved. And the whole world is running after the mighty dollar, or they're running after fame, or they're running after their own self-will. And it's futile, because it will never satisfy. And that's what the world is doing. He's saying, now, church, don't you be like this. You be different than the world. You be a light on a hill. Your life should stand out. There's something different about these people. And so don't walk in the vanity of our minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. That's what they're like. Don't put yourself in that situation to be separated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their hearts. Verse 19, again, who being past feeling, and that word again is that there's a callous that is developed over your heart and over our hearts. And again, he's speaking to the church here. This can happen, that calluses have grown over our hearts because of disobedience, because we won't walk in what God has asked us to walk in, because I will not commune with Him. I've hardened my heart. I don't want to hear what the Spirit is saying to me. I don't want to obey what the Spirit is saying to me. I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to live like a Christian. I want to. It's all about me. You know, it's all about me and how I think. And because of that, because we continue in that situation, callous has grown upon our hearts, and that's a serious condition. Because as it goes on, the hardness of our hearts, being past feeling, have then given themselves over, have surrendered themselves unto lasciviousness. And again, that is just total filth. Whatever a man can think of, that's what he wants to do. And it is a definition of this world, of this age that we live in this nation, total wantonness, total self-gratification, immorality. It's just running rampant. And he said, don't let this be in the church, with unto all lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, meaning that I don't have enough. I got to have more. I have this much sin. I'm not satisfied. I want to have more of this sin. I have, you know, whatever it is. I have this much of that, some addiction, whatever. I need more. And we want more, and we want more. I want more self-recognition. I got a little bit. I want more. I want more whatever it is. It's filled. It's greediness. Whatever it is, we just want more and more and more. And that's the sin. That's the sickness. That's the spirit that enters into us if we do not walk and go on with the Lord. This is the warning to the church. So he says then in verse 20, but we haven't learned Christ. That's not, if you learned Christ, you've seen he's not like that. You haven't learned Christ. If you're like this, you haven't learned Christ. And if you have learned Christ, you're not like this. That's what he's saying. Verse 21, if so be that you have heard him, not heard of him, but I've heard Jesus. And in again, we quoted John, I think it was 10:27, that my sheep hear his voice, and we hear him. And when he speaks in John 5:25, it says that the dead shall hear the voice of God and shall live. When God speaks to us, when his spirit speaks to us, it comes with power, it comes with life, it causes us to live, and we need to go on living, hearing his word, speaking to us. If I disobey that word, I'm going to get hard of hearing, and I'm not learning Christ. And so that's what he gives us. Those were the two solutions to being, verse 17 through 19, all those things of the world, darkened understanding and walking in vanity. And man, isn't sometimes life just so vain? It's like, you know, we could look at the book of Ecclesiastes. The whole book is about, in the end, he said, this is what I've discovered. What a sad thing. Solomon, the son of David, and he said, this is the end of all that I've learned. Vanity, vanity. All my life is vanity. I've got 700 wives. I'm the most wisest man in the world. I'm the richest man in the world. And I've indulged myself in that, in greediness, greediness, greediness. And in the end, this is what I found out after wasting my life. Vanity, vanity. Everything's vanity. Man, to learn that early in life. Young people, learn that early in life. Don't waste your life, because everything outside of Christ is fruitless, futile. It's vanity, it's vain. That's what he's saying. And so the two ways to be saved from that is that we're hearing him, that I have heard Jesus, and I'm being taught by Jesus. That's what we do. And what does that look like? So now we move into these next verses. And what does it look like to be taught by Jesus? What does that look like to be hearing Jesus? What does that look like to be learning Jesus? What does it look like? This is the practical parts of it. Verse 22. This is what it looks like, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, created in righteousness and true holiness. That's what it is to learn Jesus. It's to put this into practice in our life. And then I could ask the next question, well, what does that look like? Well, those are the next verses. We'll get to them later. But for this point, in the time that we have, which is almost gone, it's this, to put off the old man. Again, I like definitions, so I'm going to give you a definition so you can follow me along. To put off means to lay aside. Some of the versions will have that in there. It means to lay aside. And again, I love word pictures. The word picture is of an athlete showing up for an Olympic event, a runner, and they come with robes on, and they disrobe themselves and set it aside so that what that robe does not entangle them in the event at which they're going to compete at. They have nothing impeding them. They've laid it aside. That's what it means. Now, the old man will impede you and impede me in running the Christian race. He will trip me up. If I serve him, I will die. And so he said, you got to put that off. The same word is found in Acts 7, verse 58, where it talks about the stoning of Stephen. And it said, and the young men took their clothes, their coats, and they laid them. They took them off, and they laid them at a young man whose name was Saul. They took their coats off because they really wanted to wing those stones. And those robes were going to hold them back to throw those stones. But so they laid it aside. So that's the word to put off, to lay aside, to strip oneself of an old garment. You know, there's so many places I can go. I'll have to skip some of the references. Okay, so back to this verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation. Again, that's not a great translation in today's world, in our English. It means our former manner of behavior, our former life. You had a life. We could go to chapter 2 of Ephesians and read it. In times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. He said, don't do that. That's what it means to put off the old man. Don't do that. Don't walk like you walked before you were saved. If you're saved, look like it. Act like it. Live like it. If you are a child of God who is holy, look like that. Don't look like the world. Don't live like the world. Don't react like the world. Don't gossip like the world. Don't forgive like the world. Don't spend your money like the world. Don't possess your time like the world. Don't raise your family like the world. Don't be like that, because there is a way that we used to all walk in. He says, don't walk that way anymore. That's the definition of putting off the old man. It's not anything deep or hard to understand. It means put off the way you used to live if you're saved. If you're not saved, you can try to put it off, but you'll never do it. Because the only way it can be done is by the power of the Spirit in our lives. We cannot live the Christian life in our own strength, or else Jesus would not have had to come and die. He could have just said, be a Christian. Okay, I'll be a Christian. You can't do it. It takes the Spirit of the living God to live within us, to overshadow us, and give us the power and the strength to obey Him by the Spirit. And that's what it takes. So that's what putting off the old man, our former way of life. Don't live like you used to live. You know, just you can't live that way. If you do, it means that I probably haven't received Him, that I'm still am an old man. I'm not a new man. I haven't received the new man. Because I can't live like a new man. Well, that means something. So these are warnings that he puts out there. So again, manner of life, your behavior. Don't live as you lived before you were born again. Don't act like that. So then we go on. Because that old man, he goes on, he defines it, gives us some pictures of it. Put off concerning the former conversation, your former behavior. The old man who is corrupt. Okay, he's corrupt. it's a real putrid word. He is corrupt, as it says. He is corrupt. According to deceitful lusts that are raging in him. The lusts, and again, let's look at that word corrupt for a minute. It means literally, it's not a very pretty picture, but it's what it means. It's a rotting corpse. Okay? If you laid, and again, this is written in the Middle East. Imagine a dead corpse laying in the middle of the Middle East, or, you know, laying there in the desert, bloating and rotting. Does it get better? No. Every day it gets worse. And that's what he's talking about. You're going to live in the old man. This is what the old man is like. This is what your old nature is like. It is rotten. It is corrupting. And it goes on corrupting and getting more corrupt, more corrupt, more corrupt. And that's the word corrupt. It's not a pretty word. And yet, when we choose not to walk by the Spirit, but to live according to the flesh, we're picking up that dead corpse and strapping him to us again, and he stinks. Have you smelled him? He stinks, doesn't he? And that's the word picture of this, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Again, the lusts that deceive us. They're lusts that say, oh, if I get my way, then I'll be happy. You won't be happy. It's transient, like that mirage we talked about last week in front of the road when you're driving in your car and you see that wet spot and you never get there. You won't be happy if you get your own way. You will not be happy. You won't be happy. Oh, if I get this, then I'll be happy. You won't be happy. The only thing that makes us content is Christ. He makes us content. Living for Him, having His fullness in us, dying to self, that makes us content. We're fulfilled when we are living in that which God created us for. Outside of that, man will never be content. So there are deceitful lusts. Oh, if I can just do this, I'll be happy. No, you won't be happy. It won't work that way. It's to be filled in Christ. So again, that's what that word means. Deceitful lusts. Verse 23. And then to be renewed means to make new. It's in the present tense. So you're made new and still being made new, and today you're new, and when I get to tomorrow, if God lets me live on this earth another day, I'll be new tomorrow, and I'm being renewed. Paul says the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. It's renewed day by day. This is the renewing. And it's interesting, the next word, I know I'm jumping, you know, pretty fast here, so hang with me and with these things. And being renewed, it says, in the spirit of your mind. Now, if I took this chapter and we looked at all the places where it talks about the mind or the intellect or knowledge, the mind is it's a center of who we are. In the spirit of your mind, I need to be renewed, refreshed daily in the spirit of my mind. Because our minds, you know, our minds are weird sometimes, aren't they? Some of the things they think, I mean, it isn't right. Sometimes we wonder, why in the world was I thinking that? Or why did I do that? Well, you did that because you thought it. And in our mind is a warfare going all the time. You know what? I got to just let this drop. But I can't because it keeps coming back to my mind again and again and again. It keeps coming back. But we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That mind has to be renewed. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "And be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may know what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God." So it'd be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I've got to be in the presence of Jesus. You know, if I've learned Jesus as the truth is in Him, I have to be in Him, communing with Him, that He can renew my mind and get rid of myself, because, man, I'm full of self. I mean, I'm my problem. When I wake up in the morning, it's the guy who occasionally shaves his face that I see looking back at me in the mirror. That's my problem. We're our biggest problem. And the cross is brought to us. The Spirit is brought to us to put an end to ourselves. But you and I have a work to do in this. It's not just God waving a wand and there, and now we're robots and I don't have any self. You got self. In fact, you might be getting hungry. That's self. You know, it's just part of us, you know. And maybe you're thinking of your favorite food. Ooh, well, that's a little more. You know, or maybe, you know, it's just we're weird. You know, just be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with ourselves. We are God's project, okay? We're a project, and God is working on us. And I love what Hester said, is that He's not discouraged with the project. He's going to keep working with us. Praise God that He will. So, again, back to verse 23 there to finish that verse, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then verse 24, and that you put on the new man. Okay, so there was a stripping off of the old man who was corrupt and rotting. Get rid of him. I tell you what, I stink and you stink. We all stink, you know, in that sense. And we do, you know, that old man, that flesh part of us. See, and flesh in the Bible isn't bad or good. It just is flesh. And we are flesh, and it's not bad or good. It's what happens to it that matters. And in the Bible, you have to read the context, because sometimes flesh is good. And you know what it says about the flesh is good. Usually, in the New Testament, it's not good. But there are times in the New Testament, a handful of times, where the flesh, Paul talks about the flesh, and it's good. There's nothing wrong with it. So it's the context of it. So, you know, we are what we are. Verse 24 again, that you put on this new man. Okay, so the new man, it's new in quality. And I have a phrase, let's see, I've got it written on here. And I really like it. You got to think about it a little bit, even though it's real easy. It's not too complicated, to see if I can find it. Here it is. Yeah. Okay, get this now. Christ puts a new man in the suit. I'll help you with this. My body is the suit, okay? Just who I am, you know, when Guy got saved, I had the same personality. It got better because I learned how to love and certain things, but it was still me, it was still Tom. He had the same propensities that he had before in many areas. Some things God delivered me from instantly, sometimes He didn't. He leaves it there for us to learn obedience and how to overcome it and how to wrestle with it and be a victor in those things. But Christ puts a new man in the suit, okay? Not a new suit on the man. Okay, you see the difference? God doesn't put a new suit on the same old man. He puts a new man in the suit. It's still me, but I got a new man in me, in this suit. if I still have the, if I'm still the same old man and God just put a different suit on me, that wouldn't work. You know, can you put a new garment on an old one? No, you can't do that. Can you put new wine in old wineskins? No, you can't do that. And so God takes a new man and puts him in the suit. You know, and so I'm a new man. You know, we're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is what he's saying, that who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. We're new. Okay, so this, you put on this new man. There is a new man, and we need to put him on. He's created in Christ Jesus. We've learned him, and we put on this new man, not the old man. We put on the new man. There's, going on, this new man, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which according to God, okay, this is what the new man looks like. According to God, he is created in righteousness, and I think in true holiness. In short, the righteousness of God is all that God is. Okay, righteousness is all that God is. Holiness, and holiness is all that God is. And so, does it sound like Scripture to say we're supposed to be like Him? Doesn't that sound? And so that's what he's saying. We're supposed to be like Him, not be like my earthly dad or my earthly mother or the people that are around me or the people that I work with or the people that I do this or that with. Or, you know what? We're not even really, in one sense, supposed to be like one another. I mean, there's a safeguard in that. Paul said, imitate me even as I imitate Christ. But really, if I'm going to measure my Christianity by you and you're going to measure your Christianity by me, we're making a big mistake here. Jesus is our example, isn't he? This is what it's saying. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created. It's according to God it's created. Not according to Tom, not according to Mike, not according to Steve, not according to whoever you might, not according to Billy Graham or this man or this great man. It's not according to that man, because that man falls far short. I don't care who he is. He falls far short from what God is. So it's according, this new man that we're to be putting on is like God. It's according to God, and it is created in righteousness and true holiness. Not fake holiness, not holiness that's transient, it's here and it's there. It's an outworking of something. And so this is what the putting on the new man is. Now, our time is kind of gone. I'd like to get into, maybe I'll just do it some other time, but I'd like to get into some of the tenses of this about putting on. It is to put on, to put off the old man. We could go to Romans 6, we could go verse 6, we could go to Romans 6, verse 11, we could go to Romans 8, 13, we could go to a lot of different places. You know, let me just read Romans 6, okay? And if you want to turn there, you can. I'm just going to touch on it. I can't park on it. Knowing this, that our old man, okay, that's what he's talking about, putting off the old man. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Now, that is a definite time historically that my old man was crucified. He is dead. Judicially, this old man is dead. And so we put off that old man, which is crucified. That is the body of sin, okay, that it might be made of none effect, or that it might be rendered powerless. Okay? It's supposed to be rendered powerless. This we put this on as it's a reckoning, and that's what he talks about in here is a reckoning, that we're reckoning about this old man. Oh Lord, if I'm a Christian, should I live the same way as I've always lived? Do I have no power to be a different person than I was before? How do I put off something if I have no power? Well, first of all, I need to be born again. I need to be filled with the Spirit, or I don't have power. You shall become witnesses unto me, Acts 1:8, after you've received the Spirit. You know, so unless those things have happened, I'm hopeless in doing that. But having that happened as our experience, we put off this old man. He was crucified with Christ. His back has been broken. He's been rendered powerless. Okay, and we shouldn't obey him. He which once gripped us and held us, and I had no power to overcome him. I had nothing I could do. I was a slave. It says, whose servants the members that you surrender yourself to, you become their slave. And I had no choice. You had no choice. You were born in sin. We were born that way. But being born again, there's a change that takes place. And judicially, my old man, that man that I was a slave to, that I had no freedom from, that type of life, that form of life that was just, it's sin because it was a sinner. It was death because it was death. But that man was crucified with Christ, okay? He was put on the cross. His power over me has been broken. This is God's side of it. I didn't have anything to do with it. You didn't have anything to do with it. You didn't ask God, hey, will you? It happened, okay? Our old man was crucified with him. That happened. And now there's this side, and this is what he's talking about here back here in Ephesians. And again, I could spend a lot of time, more time there, but I can't. What he's talking about here is now, don't put that man on again. You know, it's possible to live according to the flesh because I still have flesh. And so do you. You still have a self. Myself didn't die. But that power, that man who had no power over sin and the power that had reigned over me has been broken. It's been rendered powerless. And we need to act on it. Again and again, he doesn't die easy, as some of you know. It doesn't die easy. That's why you put off an old man and then you put on the new man. And it's something that we need to be doing. It's a way that Christians are supposed to live. Don't let sin reign over our bodies. We're not supposed to let it. I mean, Christians should be free from the things that so easily beset us. It doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes once in a while, because we are. You know, don't try to hide and pretend like you're perfect, because none of us are perfect in this life. It will not happen until we cross that threshold. In Christ, I am perfect. I am thankful that I have a perfect salvation. And because of having a perfect Savior, I have a perfect salvation. If I didn't have a perfect Savior, I wouldn't make it, you know. My rest is in Him. So let me just read a couple things. And I maybe haven't done an excellent job here because there's so much in there and I had to jump through so much. But let me just read something. Follow if you can here. The old man, the old self, is the unregenerate person. Okay, and that's what he's saying. Don't live like the unregenerate person. That's your old man. He died. Christ punished him on the cross. He died. That's, you know, he's died. You know, so don't do that. The old man, the old self, is the unregenerate person. He is not part righteous and part sinful. Okay, he's not. He doesn't have two personalities. He's the old man. He's only got one personality. He's not part righteous nor part sinful. But he is totally sinful without the slightest potential within himself for becoming righteous and pleasing God. The old man will never be improved in holiness. He is dead. He is sin, and he is a sinner, and that old man is crucified with Christ. He'll never get better. So I'm not trying to improve the old man. I'm not putting a new suit on an old man. I'm putting a new man in a suit. Okay, so that's what he's saying. Without the slightest potential within him for becoming righteous and pleasing God. The new man, on the other hand, is the regenerate person. Praise God. If you're regenerate, you have the new man. Okay, this is for us to rejoice in. On the other hand, the new man is the regenerate person. He is made pleasing to God. This new man, this who I am, this new person in this suit, he is made pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. And his new nature is entirely godly and righteous. This new nature that we've received when we're born again by the Spirit of God is righteous and it's godly. He is not yet perfected in me. I am not yet perfected or glorified, but he is already spiritually alive and holiness is at work in him. The new man will continue to grow in that holiness no matter how slowly, because it is the very nature of life that it grows. Holiness starts with justification. I'm sorry, holiness starts where justification finishes. And if holiness does not start, we have the right to suspect that justification has never started either. So holiness begins. Justification is that I'm justified. On the one hand, I am as holy as Christ. I am in Him, and His holiness, His righteousness is mine. And that's what I'm going to trust. And that's what we're all going to trust. We're never going to trust in our own righteousness. I'm going to trust in His. But God wants to work that out through us, and it's called sanctification. So this holiness or this sanctification starts where justification finishes. There is therefore simply no such thing as justification without sanctification. If you're justified, you've got to be going through a process of sanctification. This is the practical stuff. This is, you might say, why is he reading this? Because you're putting off the old man and you put on the new man. This is the definition of putting on the new man. is sanctification. It's putting on the new man. It's practical. It's outworked love. It's outworked passion for God. It's outworked obedience to God. It's outworked love for the lost. It's outworked love for the brethren. It's an outworked hatred towards sin. And this is what it is. The truly saved person lives a new and a godly life in a new and godly realm. He now and forever lives in God's realm of grace and righteousness, and he can never again live in Satan's realm or self and sin. As the natural, sinful, unregenerate man cannot restrain the manifestation of what he is, neither can the regenerate man restrain from what he is. If I am regenerate, if I have the Spirit of Christ in me, then I want to be like my Father. And there is a power working within me that's going to conform me onto His image. And I will be changed from glory to glory into the same image. As long as I am putting off the old man, the way I used to live, and the way I used to think, and the way I used to talk, and those things, I'm putting them off by the power of the Spirit, and I'm putting on the new man by the power of the Spirit. This is what's going on in our lives. This is practical Christianity. That's sanctification. And that's just what it is. He's talking about the outworking of sanctification. So read it again this week if you have time. There's just so much in there. And I know I've kind of done jumped around a little bit on there, but hopefully you've gotten the challenge of it. Of some of what he's saying there, I could have done a little more explanation, but that's where we are with time. And let's just close with prayer, and then maybe we could we close with that song, "Worthy Is the Lamb." So let's just pray. Father, we thank you again for this wonderful day, Lord, that you've given to us. Father, I pray that, Lord, in my life, Lord, you would help me to reckon on these things, Lord, that I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life that we now live is the life of Christ in us. Lord, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Father, thank you that you love us this morning, Lord, that you love us all the time. Father, just ask that you would put a burning within our hearts to be practical about our Christianity and not live in some fairyland where because we've heard something or know something, we think we're being sanctified. Lord, but I must put off the old man and I must put on the new man. Lord, I can't put on the new man unless the old man's been put off, and I can't have them both on at the same time, Lord. So, Father, just ask that you would help us to do this, Lord, just to humble ourselves before you and be willing to walk even as you walked, to learn Christ, to be taught of you. Father, just pray that you do this in my life and in each of our lives, Lord. May we bring glory and honor to you as we go about that which you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.